Daughter, Episode 1, No Place Like Home, by Lynn Nelson. Carousel, New York was your typical suburban town, and Pandora Darling used to be its typical teenage resident. A happy, healthy, gorgeous young woman, Pandy used to spend her time at tennis practice, hanging out with BFF Tabitha Wentworth, and dreaming about going to homecoming with local hunk George Batista. But junior year had brought real nightmares that Pandora could never have anticipated. It started with discovering her mother, bloody and breathless, standing over a dead body in their living room one afternoon. A terrifying ordeal of subliminal and oh-so-concrete training, conspiracy theories, fights, car chases, romantic encounters, presidential imposters, and close family deaths later, Pandora found herself a lonely and confused orphan who was lucky the police weren't after her. She had watched both her mother and her grandmother die. Her father's parents were missing, also probably dead. Her father himself had died when she was young. She had only one place to stay, and that place was haunted by echoes of pain, panic, fear, and death. Her mother's house. Having been declared independent by the state due to extreme circumstances, Pandora could live comfortably on her inheritance, but it was a cold comfort indeed. Now, as she heard the doorbell ring, she knew that the one person in the world who was offering her support and company was on the other side of the door, fidgeting in his rented tuxedo. She took a deep breath and opened the door to find Bobby fiddling with the button and zipper of his fly.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Pandy. How are you?
I'm all right, all things considered. Thanks for convincing me to do this. I really need to get out of the house. I can't believe it's been a month since I've seen almost anyone.
Everybody's been thinking good thoughts for you. They'll be happy to see you.
Well, not everyone.
She'll get over it, Pandy. You guys are best friends. Tabby's stubborn, but there's too much history there to let it go like that. She'll come around.
Yeah, well, I hope so. She hasn't called me once, and I can't imagine tonight will make things any better.
Yeah. What happened between the two of you anyway?
I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, let's do this.
Despite the nearly fatal events of late and the terrible tragedies Pandy had suffered, Bobby could not help but feel a little gleeful as he escorted Pandora to the passenger side of the car. He had been gathering the courage to ask her to homecoming for months, and now his dream had come true. She looked beautiful in her long pink gown and her hair falling loosely in curls around her bare shoulders. She had even put on eyeshadow and lip gloss. She was a pale pink beacon of light in what seemed like a dreary storm cloud over the quiet village of Carousel. Even the changing leaves of October seemed gray, but Pandy had taken the time to make herself pretty for Bobby, and nothing in the world would have kept him down tonight. They arrived at the high school gym, and a nervous Pandy suggested they make for the refreshment table and get some punch. As Bobby turned to hand her glass, something startled him and he dropped it, spilling kiwi mango strawberry punch on the bosom of Pandy's beautiful pink dress.
You're always so good at accessorizing, Pandora.
Gee, Pandy, I'm so sorry.
Hello, Ms. Wentworth.
So this is why you were brushing me off?
Tabby, I'm sorry I didn't talk to you about this, but...
Save it, Bobby. I'm sick of playing sidekick to Barbie here. I hope you two are happy together.
Thanks for calling me, by the way. I'm doing fine. What was that all about?
Well, I didn't exactly tell Tabby I was bringing you to homecoming.
I don't understand.
She kind of asked me to go with her.
Oh, I see.
I didn't know how to tell her I was taking you, since you guys are... not getting along, so I just kept telling her I'd think about it, or I didn't know.
Well, I'm glad you took me.
Hey, I think Principal Monty's going to announce the results of the vote.
Good evening, students. This is the moment I'm sure you've all been waiting for. The results are in for Homecoming King and Queen. So without further ado, your Homecoming Queen is... Oh my goodness! Everyone, please give an extremely warm welcome to your fellow classmate, whom we have missed dearly, and your Homecoming Queen, Pandora Darling.
Pandora's heart skipped a beat as she made her way to the stage, and Bobby's heart beat faster as the prospect of being homecoming king entered his mind.
Wow, I'm speechless. Just thank you all for your support. It means a lot to me.
And now, the vote for homecoming king, George Batista.
Thanks, everyone. You're too kind. You made the right choice.
Okay, settle down, everyone. As is customary, the homecoming king and queen will have a dance together, so clear the floor.
Pandy ignored Tabby making vomiting motions by pretending to put her finger down her throat as she took the floor with George.
Welcome back, Pandora. We missed you.
Thanks. It's good to get out of the house.
And good to be where you belong, eh?
What do you mean?
Well, dancing with me, of course.
Oh, wow.
You know, I was going to ask you to go with me.
Really?
Well, yeah. But you weren't around so much for the few weeks before the dance, so I ended up asking Tabitha Wentworth.
Oh, well, she looks very nice tonight.
So, what are you doing with that Dorko anyway? The girl of your breeding and looks should be with someone of equal stature.
I see. And that would be you, I presume.
Well, of course. You know who my father is, don't you?
Yes, I do. And I'm beginning to see who you are, too.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Pandora was about to give George Batista a piece of her mind when the song ended and Principal Mondi took the microphone again.
Everyone, give a round of applause to our homecoming king and queen and to our band, Caleb and Special K. The band is going to take a break now, but they'll be back in 15 minutes. Feel free to get some refreshments while you're waiting.
Wait, what did she say the band was called?
Caleb and Special K? Tabitha arranged for them to come.
Oh my God.
Are you okay? You're practically white.
I have to go.
Running back to your loser boyfriend, I see.
Shove it, George!
Oh, you shove it too, Pandy!
Panicked, Pandy searched the gymnasium for Bobby, but he was nowhere to be found. She looked to the stage where the band was clearing their equipment and locked eyes for a moment with the bassist. She looked away quickly.
What am I doing? I was no good at seeing them. Besides, I swore I wasn't going to get into this. This is ridiculous. There is no conspiracy. Just calm down, Pandy. You're being silly. Where on earth did Bobby go? Maybe he's outside.
Pandora opened the doors to the gym and found herself outside with no one, including Bobby, in sight. She turned to go back in the gym when she felt a sharp pain in the back of her head and blacked out. She woke up about 20 minutes later, unable to see anything. She had the all-too-familiar sensation of being horizontal, cold, and enclosed. But this time, she knew her mother was not on the other side of the box. Slowly, Pandora tried to take stock of her surroundings. She moved her arms and legs as much as she could, feeling for her purse. As expected, it was not in the box with her. Exploring the sides of the box with her fingers, she found a small metal lock on the left wall. Slowly, Pandora inched up the skirt of her dress until the tops of her thigh highs were exposed. She reached to the garter on her right stocking, where three lockpicks were pinned. Just as she was removing one, an intercom above her head clicked on.
Good evening, Pandora. I know your way out of a locked box, so I will keep this brief. You are invited to search for your friend if you are prepared for what you will find at the end. Good luck.
Moments later, Pandora sprung open the box and leapt out, landing instinctively in a fighting pose to find an empty senior science lab. She scanned her surroundings quickly, spotting her handbag sitting placidly on a countertop. She grabbed it and headed for the door, kicking it open and bulldozing through to the outside, where she stopped to catch her breath on the front stairs.
Damn it! I didn't want to get involved with any of this! This isn't supposed to be happening to me! Why can't life just be normal? Okay, think. Can I go home? They probably know where I live, but if they wanted to hurt me, they would have done so when they had me. They want me to find Bobby. I want to find Bobby. There's no one else who knows what's going on. No one I can consult. Why can't Abby just be friends with me again so we can put our heads together? That's it. I'm going to find her. She's my best friend. She's got to help. And if not for me, then for Bobby. I'll just... Oh!
Hello, Pandora. I didn't mean to startle you.
Oh, it's... Okay, I just came out to get some air.
I saw you run out before. I didn't want to pry. But the dance is ending, so I thought I'd check on you. I didn't get a chance to welcome you back.
Well, thanks. I was just going back in.
Actually, I was hoping you had a minute to talk.
Well, I guess I have a minute. Sure.
I know we've talked before, and I know how difficult things were and are. I just wanted to remind you that I'm here if you need someone to confide in.
I know, Mr. Nielsen, and I appreciate it. But I'm okay now, and I have my friends to talk to.
Really? I'm sorry, I don't mean to press you too much, but I couldn't help but notice that you and Tabitha didn't seem to be getting along. And I saw your date leave so quickly, so
you
I...
You saw Bobby leave?
Well, I saw him go through the gym doors when you were on stage.
Hmm.
I don't want you to think you have to be alone, Pandora. Here, I got you something. Something that provides me comfort in times of desperation.
The Bible. Gee, Mr. Nielsen, thanks so much.
Anytime. I'm helping to clean up, so I'll be inside if you need anything.
Thanks!
Mr. Nielsen got up and went back inside the gym. Pandy looked down at the stair next to her and saw a large dagger sitting where Mr. Nielsen had been. Confused, she looked up to ask if it belonged to him, but he was already gone. She picked it up and hurried around the corner into the parking lot in order to beat the crowd that would be leaving any minute. As she crossed the parking lot, she saw the band loading up their van from a back door of the gym. Three of the band members headed back into the gym, and the bassist was left to rearrange things in the back of the van. He turned when he heard her walking. Pandora narrowed her eyes, trying to see him. Making a quick decision, she threw her arm forward and snapped her wrist. The dagger sliced through the air and landed in the bassist's gut. He stumbled backward into the van. Pandora ran up behind him, closed and locked the van door, took the keys out of the lock, and ran to the driver's side of the van. She peered inside the gymnasium door and saw Mr. Nielsen moving some things around.
Pandora?
Mr. Nielsen, you said to come to you for help if I needed it. And if I ever needed help, it's now.
What's going on?
No time to talk here. Get in the van.
What? Pandora, what's going on?
I'm driving away in this van whether you're in it or not.
Okay, Okay.
Pandora got into the driver's side and started the engine, as Mr. Nielsen jumped into the passenger's side and barely got his door closed before Pandy tore out of the parking lot.
We need somewhere safe to go. Any ideas?
Well, I guess we could go to my house.
Not safe enough.
Well, there's always the church, but we should probably go to one a few towns over if it's that bad. A few details might help.
Bobby's been kidnapped, and I think he has something to do with it.
Mr. Nielsen followed Pandy's thumb, which was pointing to the back of the van, and discovered the unconscious bassist with a dagger jutting out from his gut and his blood all over the floor.
Pandora, please tell me you didn't kill this man.
I'm not sure if he's dead.
When I asked you before if you had ever committed murder, I meant had you ever hated someone, not had you ever actually killed a man.
Well, it's a little late for that. We need to get him and us somewhere safe.
We can't take this man to a church.
Thanks, Sherlock.
Well, what was your brilliant plan?
I don't know. If Mother were alive, she'd know where to go, or Grandma, but they're not here, and I don't know where to go.
At that moment, they heard a groan coming from the back of the van. Mr. Nielsen looked back to see the bleeding bassist's head rolling back and forth, his hands clutching his stomach. Just as Pandy started to say,
"He's alive?"
Mr. Nielsen opened his blazer, pulled out a small pistol, aimed, and fired one silenced shot into the bassist's head, stilling him.
I know where we're going.
What secret life does Mr. Nielsen have? Should Pandora have trusted him? Will she find Bobby before it's too late? Tune in next week for episode 2 of Like Daughter, Thou Shalt Not Kill.